With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to Comic Confidential. My name is Cade Moyer, and I am joined by Isaac Butterfield to answer some very important questions when it comes to the world of Pokemon.
Very important.
Very important.
They must be answered today.
They are. The world's going to end if I don't know these answers regarding these very, very important questions. What's your starter Pokemon there, Isaac? Because mate, I'm gonna go out on a whim and say you're a first gen boy.
What, you're going to go and let limb because I told you 30, 40, 40
don't spoil the illusion, no. Mate.
yes, absolutely. I like a lot of people, and I know a lot of people who see me making Pokemon videos. They go, oh, this bloke's just cashing in on the whole Logan Paul thing, and that's definitely true to an extent. But I was buying Pokemon cards 5 years ago, you know, once I started working real jobs, that type of thing. I bought a first edition Venusaur off Unlisted Leaf. It is a PSA 1. A PSA 1 first edition Venusaur. It's got, and I didn't buy it. And he didn't sell it to me as like, hey, no, this is going to get a 10. He said, this is the worst card ever. Do you want it? And I was like, okay. I can't remember what I paid for it, but it's a cool thing to have with that little PSA 1 thing there. But yeah, so I bought that off him, and I also bought a few years ago a PSA 9 Charizard from Base Set Unlimited, and I think I paid like $200 for it.
Whoa, wow, that's a bargain in this day.
Yeah. So that was probably 4 to 5 years ago. Oh, maybe 3 years ago, but quite some time. So to all the people who keep carrying on like, oh, Butterfield's just cashing in. Yeah, I am, but not as much as you think. In answer to your question, Charmander, for sure.
Charmander, yeah. I think Charmander was a big favorite for a lot of people going out into
fire.
The game. Yeah, exactly.
It's fire Pokemon.
Exactly.
You can't lose. Well, you can't lose.
Well, you can.
But, you know, it's not the same as Squirtle. And as I was saying before, Squirtle's pretty cool because it does evolve into some giant, like, Galapagos turtle thing with tanks on its shoulders. But for a while, Squirtle's cute and all. And my favorite Pokemon it's Eevee. I fucking love Eevee.
Yeah,
I love
really?
Collecting Eevee cards. I'm all about that. And the evolutions and all that type of shit. I just think it's a cool little thing. It's like a little dog, and I'm all about it.
Yeah, actually, it's probably one of those Pokemon that looks like a real creature the most out of all of them. And super relatable too, because you could probably go buy a dog that looks like a damn Eevee.
Yes, absolutely. You get a little Kadoodle or something like that, and it does come across as a little Eevee. But Mrs. Butts and I were talking the other night, like, when we have kids, do we call one Eevee? And I was like, oh, I like the name. Like, Eevee's a cute name, but yeah. I don't know if I want to be one of those people where you have to have a whole backstory. You're like, oh, Eevee, is that after Pokemon? You're like, yes, it is. Like, no, it's not. You have to defend yourself and all that type of shit. Which, you know, if you've done that and you've called your kid, I don't know, Zapdos or something, good on you, but it's not for me.
Yeah, it's and you know what? Even if you did name your kid Eve, you're always going to know in the back of your mind. I didn't name it after the Pokemon, but you know you did.
Yeah, well, we called our little Whippet, our dog, we called him Littlefoot. After The Land Before Time, the cartoon.
That was yeah.
I think he's a Brachiosaurus or a Brontosaurus. No, not a Brontosaurus. Brachiosaurus or something like that. Anyway, and, you know, it's a weird name to yell out if he's carrying on, but it's also a really cute name. So, you know, it's a catch-22 in one of those situations. But yeah, Charmander.
Charmander, yeah, that's a good pick. I don't think a lot of people would go down the route of going for a Bulbasaur. To end up with a Venusaur at the end of the day, like who wants a fucking plant for their Pokemon? Now,
from memory, Bulbasaur had one of the attacks was like Razor Leaf or something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I can't remember. But and that was like a pretty devastating attack. So obviously there is some benefit from picking that particular guy, but I don't think it matters who you pick in particular the Game Boy games. Like you go, you can watch on YouTube now, you can watch countless videos of people who will play, you know, Pokemon Red or Blue or Gold or the older or the newer versions, I guess, with all these rules put in place, like you're not allowed to heal or you're not allowed to evolve, all this type of weird shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. There's this one guy, and he did one recently. I haven't watched it yet, but I saw it come up on my feed, and he has so many different rules that he just can't finish the game. Usually he can finish the game with all these rules, like you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to catch this or do that, or you have to go around a certain way or whatever. And yeah, I think he beat like the whole game with like a Pidgeotto or something, and you know, leveled it up to 150 and all that shit, and you know, there's things like that, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, there's so much nostalgia right now going around with Pokemon, and I remember, I think it was Gary V said this, and I'm not a fan of Gary V. I don't not like him. He just says the same thing in six different ways. Anyway, and he said that, you know, nostalgia never dies, and it's very true. You know, it'll always come back. And that's why right now I've you know, invested some money in cards, and I've got like 500 or 600 cards at PSA getting graded, which I might see in the next 10 years. And hopefully at some point I can sell them. And, you know, if I can make 20, 30, 40 grand, maybe more off that when I'm an older man, then that's a nice little nest egg to have, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Gary V is one of the key people to kind of make the rise of Pokemon cards, to be honest, because the last couple of years he's been really big on sports cards. Yes. And the getting them graded, buying them cheap, just I guess using them as actual investments. And he'll basically spend his whole weekend going around to like garage sales and stuff like that to find these really, really rare cards that people just don't realize that they have. And because of that, I think it's had a huge knock-on effect to the world of Pokemon cards, because you can say it's the Logan Paul effect, but I genuinely believe it might be the Gary V effect having a massive knock-on to that world there.
Well, he probably inspired Logan to get involved with it. And it has decimated the industry in a way for people coming into it. I mean, I know it's hard for kids now to get involved in the game, because if you go to you know, EB Games or Big W or whatever in Australia and buy Pokemon cards, like it's hard to get your hands on them. The only time I've done that, I think I bought some cards from Zing, and I was buying them trying to chase the Rainbow Rare Pikachu in Vivid Voltage. And I bought like, I think I was a bit of an asshole, and I bought like 15 packs. And the lady goes to me, she said, "Oh, good luck." She was a bit of a fan of Pokemon. She said, "Oh, but the bloody, you wouldn't believe it, there was a kid in this morning who pulled the Rainbow Rare Pikachu out of that box." I was like, "Oh, you're telling me now after I've spent like, you know, $100 on all these cards, I'm going to get fuck all from them."
Wow. Wow. That's just what you want to hear too.
Well, it was heartbreaking. But anyway, you live and learn.
So, okay, the Pokemon cards, I was a big collector of them back in the day, and it was the game itself is actually fun. Do you play the game, or are you just in the sense of collecting?
No, I've never played the game. I don't understand how it works. There's dice involved. I don't want to know.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And you know what? I probably wouldn't even know how to play it today. I just remember it was really cool fun. And I think it was going up against another kind of card-based game back in the day, Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yep.
Which, you know, that's completely different, but, you know, in that same kind of ballpark. But I do remember Pokemon cards. They were like the currency of the schoolyard.
Yeah. Well, we had Pokemon cards there, and then they were banned, and then people started playing Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and then they were banned, and then we ended up with fucking marbles, and then they got banned. And it was because kids just want to gamble.
Yeah.
They just want to fight each other they just want to get different things and win this and win that and take other people's big clonker things, the clinker things, the big marbles and all that shit. I mean, I stole a Charizard of someone when I was a kid. And my old man never lets me live it down. It was out the front of my old house in Newcastle, and we were playing like with the cards on the concrete, which is a terrible way to treat your cards. But anyway, you don't think about that when you're 7 years old. And he had his Zard, and I just sort of slid it under a pot plant to come back and retrieve it later. And I went back and I got it, and I've got it. I've got the Zard. And I don't think I really understood that you can just buy packets and maybe one day you'll pull one. I don't think I really got that.
Yeah.
But I think his mother came around later on and was yelling at my mum, and my mum defended me. She's like, my Isaac would never do that. That's ridiculous. And I was sitting there sheepishly, and she eventually she just saw on my face that I was full of shit, and I probably got a spanking and had to return the card. So that's why when I got that unlimited base Charizard, I was really pumped about it because it was finally here. But I also, in that same time that I bought all those cards off Unlisted Leaf and from another bloke, I also got sent four binders, a binder full of first edition Team Rocket, and all the holos are quite, they're not good.
Yeah.
Like they're probably PSA 4 or 5, but still had all that. And was sent an entire base set, a lot of which I'm getting graded at the moment. And they just sent them to me.
Really?
So people just were fans of the channel. This is not that long ago. And they sent it to me. And, yeah, so I had those sitting there. And that's when I sort of learned about PSA. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll get some of these cards graded and all that type of business. And, yeah, and so I was really pumped about getting those. Nowadays, if you went to buy what they sent me, I'd be paying $2,000, $3,000 for all the cards they sent me, maybe more, depending on the condition, of course.
But, yeah. I see the original booster packs because, you know, some people still have those things stashed away, and you see them going for hundreds, thousands of dollars to get packs of those. They're big money these days.
My mate who I do all my Pokemon openings with, Brammers, Cards by Brammers, is who you should buy your Pokemon cards through, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. He and I were planning to do a first edition fossil booster box break. And the seller was really adamant that he didn't want to go lower than $1,175 per pack. People were blowing up. They're blowing up at me about, you know, this and that and doing this. And I was like, well, it's not really up to me. It's not my box, so I can't really make those decisions. If you don't want to buy, you don't have to. But hopefully we get to do that. But, yeah, you go and buy a booster box, you know, 50 grand for the unlimited ones at the moment.
50 grand.
Yeah. Well, this fossil box that I don't have anymore, it's not with me. It's somewhere else at a secure facility. Old mate just sent it to me in the post.
You're kidding.
At my door. And I had it sitting there, and Mrs. Butts' mum came over and I said, how much do you reckon this is worth? And she's like, I don't know, $7,000. I know you told me that Pokemon cards are quite expensive. And I said, yeah, this is probably about a $35,000 to $40,000 box.
Far out.
Crazy.
Just sent it in the post, just on your doorstep, sitting there for hours.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, he sent it to my PO box. I was going to send it to my house, but I know that the postie usually leaves stuff. So if you know where I live, please don't rob me. But, I know I usually leave stuff because I get a lot of stuff delivered. So I was like, I'll send it to the PO box because that way at least it's at the post office and it might still go missing because it's Australia Post, but at least it's there and it's sort of, you know, it's in a locked facility. But, yeah, so that was pretty scary and I was stressing out, even driving at home. Like I drove to the gym afterwards for some reason. I was just sort of sitting there and I was just sort of watching the car. I was like, Christ, if this car gets taken, like there's nearly $100,000 worth of things that are just gone.
Yeah. And I guess trying to explain that to you to an insurance company, it would just be too bad, mate. They're just some cards. They're gone.
And I think that someone was saying that apparently if you insure them in the post, you can't insure them for the price they're worth right now on eBay. You can only insure them for their original retail value or something like that.
Oh, you're kidding.
Now, I don't know if that's 100% true. I might be wrong. But if that is true, that's insane.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely insane.
Because what are you going to get if a booster pack goes missing? I bought off the Pokeju, I bought three Shadowless booster packs and three Fossil booster packs. And he sent them to me. I don't know if they were insured or not, but, you know, it was $5,000 just sort of floating through the post. And that was before the whole Logan Paul thing. That was like, it was like 3 months before. And I just wanted to do it because I just thought, why not? I thought I may as well. And I have a second channel, the Buttsman 2, and I thought, you know, that could be my little Pokemon channel. And now it's sort of, I do Pokemon openings 2 days a week and then other videos the other days. And you know, it's tax deductible, so that's why I did it.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'll do a big opening on my main channel with the Shadowless packs. And I think we pulled a Poliwhirl or something, like the Holo Poliwhirl, which is not that great, but also a Red Cheeks Pikachu, which I think is going into PSA 10 for about $4,000 or $5,000 now, something like that.
Far out. Can you explain the PSA, I guess, grading system to me? Because I'm very new to this. I'm very much a virgin to it. And the whole PSA thing, because it goes from 1 to 10. I know 10's basically almost impossible to get because you need to, from my understanding, you need to get a perfect card, like perfectly centered.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know Pokemon cards, they kind of got this border around them. And
I've got two here. So I know it's hard to see. But that is an Aerodactyl pre-release from first edition Fossil. And that is a PSA 8. This is a Card Monsters, I think. No, Card Ass. Yeah, Pocket Monsters, Card Ass, Flareon from 97, I think, in Japan. And that's a 7. So these guys, you know, they're not perfect cards, but they're close.
Yeah.
They're getting up there. But a grade or a card will lose grade or lose grading points if there are damage on the corners, whitening on the corners, if the card, the artwork itself isn't perfectly centered. A lot of cards, there's a card in the Evolution set that came out in 2016, one of the Charizard cards, the Holo Charizard, which represents the original Charizard card that came out in 99. And that is almost impossible to get in a PSA 10. They go for about $10,000 in PSA 10s, but no one that I know has been able to get one. I know a few of my mates have sent off dozens of them and hasn't been able to return a 10 because they constantly have these print lines across the holo, across here. So
yeah, right.
They just can't get a PSA 10. So that's why, you know, supply and demand, basic economics, they just don't exist. So you have to pay a higher premium to get one. Yeah, it's a convoluted sort of thing, and some people say there's conspiracies with PSA that they're a bit dodgy. They're a bit dodgy as well, and they deliberately lower the numbers of PSA 10s. There's other ones too. There's Beckett BGS. They have a scoring system where they actually tell you why your card didn't get a 10. They score it out of four categories, and they give you a out of 10 score for every category, whether that's centering, edging, all that type of shit, and they give you out of 10 for that, and then it comes to a total score. CGC is another one. They do the same thing, and then there's CCA or something, the Card Certification Australia, I think it is, and some people don't like them. They've had a few run-ins with some issues, but I sent some cards with them, and they were pretty good. The cards I sent to them, the reason I sent to them was I had my old man played NRL here in Australia, and he had a lot of football cards of himself made. And I found some, and I bought them off a bloke, and they were really good condition. I thought I'd get them graded. And not so much for resale value, just for just to have them there and in a protected case, and they're going to, you know, last forever now sort of thing. And that was cool. But no one else would sort of do those gradings. So I thought, okay, we'll send it off to old mate. So there's a lot of different options, and PSA just put up their prices too, to like $35 Australian a card. So
is it really that much?
It's a lot of money.
Wow. And
particularly when you're sending like 100 cards off. Like that's
too much. Yeah, that's big coin, and it really does become an investment then, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're investing $2,000, you're basically buying shares.
Yeah.
You know, you're buying shares in the Pokemon industry and you're hoping that it increases in value over time.
So what's the average, I guess, price to get into this? Because I guess that's probably a bit of a loaded question, because it's how much can you afford to get into it? But let's say, you know, someone wants to get into this. They're looking at maybe starting with some close to the original decks as they want to get. What should people really expect when they're starting this whole journey? Is it, do you need to have tens of thousands of dollars? Is it thousands of dollars? Is it?
No, I don't think so. I think you can, it definitely depends where you want to start. If you want to get obviously a first edition Charizard PSA 10, you're going to need $500,000, but most people don't want that. And most people can't afford that. So, you know, you look and you find bargains, and you might find something that a card isn't a perfect 10 or it isn't the perfect, condition, but it represents something fun to you. So you buy it anyway. eBay's tough because, you know, you might go on eBay and you see a card on sale there that is just an astronomical price, but no one's going to pay that. But it's just there and they're just hoping some idiot comes along and pays it. You got to check out the previous sale, the end sales for a lot of cards to get a bit of an idea of what they're worth. Joining auctions and things like that. There's another group of guys called Welcome Stranger Collectibles. They do Facebook auctions every Sunday and Thursday now, and they're great because you can buy PSA cards from there. But I think if you're going to jump into it, either jump into the new stuff and then work your way back as you learn about it, or head to the things like Welcome Stranger and pick something niche.
Yeah.
You like Eevee? Collect all the Eevees. You like Charmanders, like what I was doing? Collect all the Charmanders, that type of thing. So I think that's probably the best way to do it. Any other way, and you're just going to be doing what I was doing for a while and just fluffing about and not getting anywhere.
So what's your goal with the Pokemon cards now? Are you hunting a specific type?
No, I don't have a goal at the moment. Yeah. I'm just sort of I think I'd like to probably get all the holos in a PSA 10 and base set one day, maybe Shadowless. Depends how good my career goes, really.
Well, man, COVID is clearing up and I see you starting the tour now, so that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're going back on the road, which is really exciting. So, but I don't really have like a particular goal in mind. And the reason I have that is because this is just fun for me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of parts of my life that are really serious and I'm always, thinking about things that are happening in the world, and it's just good to have something that's completely different and doesn't matter. You know, so that's why I enjoy it, and that's probably how I'll keep going with it, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's good because, you know, like you said, your current channel, it can be polarizing to people depending on where they sit with certain things, and I think that's great because that's the whole reason you have that channel.
Absolutely.
But this whole second channel, I think it's really fantastic because it really does show it's a different side of you. It's something that, you know, you don't have to be the world's biggest fan of Pokemon to get excited about the card pools and stuff like that. Because like I said, I've never even invested into this at all. And I watch the card pools that you do, and you do it with another guy sometimes, and you can feel the tension. It's there's a level of excitement that you know, you just don't really get with anything else.
No, and it's like it's almost a sport, almost a spectator sport.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting there and we're opening these cards and, you know, that maybe we paid $1,000 for, and we need to pull something to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't, then you get the shits, and maybe you're halfway through a pack or a box and you're like, fuck, we haven't done anything. And it's a killer. So
what's your best and worst pulls so far?
Oh, my best. What is my best?
What's one that's got you excited? Because maybe you've been on the hunt for something and you've found the exact card that you're looking for.
Well, here's the best and worst. I was opening up a mystery box recently, and this guy had sent through an amazing array of cards, including some Burning Shadows booster packs. And Burning Shadows from Sun and Moon, the best card is the Charizard. and it's a really cool design, really hard to get. I know another Pokemon YouTuber dude, Max Mofo, had opened thousands of these packets and hadn't pulled it. And these were my first. And I opened it and there was something in my hand. I went through the first couple of cards and then pulled it and revealed that it was the Burning Shadows Charizard. Best pull of the show. But as I look at it, it's completely off center. The corners are terrible. There's widening everywhere. And it's probably not, you know, the super expensive PSA 10. It might be a 5, but it's still the cool pull. So it's like, it's really exciting at one point and you get to see it and you've got it in your hands, but then you start thinking about the collecting and the investing side of things. You're like, well, this doesn't have a very good resale value. But also, it's not the end of the world. You know, I didn't know I was going to get it. So it's not a big issue. But, but yeah, that's probably the worst, I think. But, there, you know, it's always fun. I'm having a problem with Vivid Voltage at the moment. I'm still – I've opened 500 packs and I haven't pulled the chase card. So I'm just like – I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Will and Powerfish about it. He's just buy the bloody thing. I was like, no, it's not the same. I need to pull it.
You know? Yeah.
So I don't know what I'll end up doing there, but if I get good ticket sales, I might just buy the bloody thing because it's just doing me head in. I think I don't know how much 500 packs of booster packs cost, but whatever that is.
And yeah, is that Voltage set the current set that you can buy just from kind of anyway?
Yeah, it's one of the current sets.
Yeah.
There are a few at the moment, but it's probably everyone's favorite. Shining Fates just come out. Battle Styles is just about to come out or has come out. But Vivid Voltage was everyone's favorite. There was another set called Champion's Path that was out just before Vivid Voltage, and that only had two chase cards, two Charizards, one of which I pulled and the other I hadn't. But I've opened, you know, countless of those. Booster packs of those, but everyone enjoyed Vivid Voltage more because there were more cards to actually get. There were these amazing rare cards with all these beautiful designs and all that type of stuff in comparison to the Champion's Path set, which only had two cards that anyone wanted and everything else was shit basically.
Yeah, right.
So everyone was really pumped about that sort of set, and it was about Pikachu and all that type of stuff. Yeah. So, you know, people got around that.
But, yeah, good crowd pleaser.
Yeah, so I think people should just, if they want to go out and get into Pokemon, go out and buy a pack and just relive what it was like when you were a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the nostalgia level for that type of stuff, it's through the roof, and it's even just fun to watch. It's safe for me to watch because I'm not investing hundreds and thousands of dollars on it, because I know you buy one pack, man, and I'm sure that stuff's just like cocaine. You're addicted straight away.
You're basically playing the Pokies.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a child form of gambling, and I get it, and I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit of a – well, you know what? You probably have more luck pulling the Pokemon cards than you do the Pokies too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, but, you know, it's a process making a profit from it. You can sell them raw, straight out of the pack, the cards, but if you really want to make a good profit on it, you've got to get them graded. And at this point – you send cards to PSA. If I send a card to PSA today, I won't see it until this time next year.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they've got a massive, and that's why they put their prices up, because everyone's just sending cards their way. So they've got this enormous backlog of cards, which also, you know, they also sold their company for, I don't know if it was $100 million, it was a lot of money. You'd think they would employ just more people just to get it done.
You would think
But apparently not. So yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
That's insane, because the supply and demand is there. You know, it's simple economics.
Yeah, no, it is. And I was surprised that they weren't able to handle the workload after a year. You would think they would be able to sort of deal with it. But it seems that their way of dealing with it now is just putting the price up. So it's more of a which is fine. You know, people are still going to send them. But there's other options out there too, which I think will rise in value as well.
Yeah.
Over time, but maybe PSA will rise in value even more because they are harder to get. But you also see cards like from the current sets drop in price when more people get their cards back from PSA and put them on sale. So
yeah, right.
You know, if I'm a collector and I've got all these PSA cards waiting just to sell on eBay. As soon as they get back, I'm going to sell them. But so is thousands of other people, and the market's going to be flooded. So that'll be a good time to buy, I think. Right now, it's at the top of the market. Some people argue that it'll just keep going up, and it probably will for the vintage sets. But for the bulk cards in vintage sets, just hold out, I think. Wait a year, then buy. But I could be very wrong. Who knows?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just don't know, because they may do a re-release or something like that, and the value just kind of flattens out a little bit then.
Yeah, they've done a few reprints of sets from the last couple of years. Obviously, they can't do reprints of, the base set, and that's what everyone sort of chases. We're still waiting to find out what the 25th anniversary set will be.
Mm.
And I'm hoping it's a bit of a combination of all the big cards from the last, 25 years, or maybe it's a reprint of Fossil and Jungle, or who knows. Maybe it has something to... It'd be cool if they combined all the first four sets or something like that. I think that'd be really cool. But
they
know what they're doing. They know how to make money. I'm sure they'll come out with something good.
It would be fantastic. I think that would be a really good jumping in point for a lot of people too, because a lot of people who played the first Pokemon will be, my age in their 30s, and that's just home for them, the original 151, because you tell me to name one other Pokemon outside of that, no chance, mate.
Yeah, people throw the Chikoritas around and the Swablus, and I'm like, yeah, fuck them. I don't want anything to do with them. All right, give me Charmanders and Squirtles and Pikachus and Bulbasaurs, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly it. So, Matt, I do have to ask, what's the reception from your fan base when it comes to the Pokemon? Because I can imagine you get a whole bunch of shit from people who say, "What the fuck are you doing this type of shit for?" and stuff like that. What's the go there?
Some people hate it.
Yeah,
and they get so mad, particularly on Facebook. I've noticed that Facebook people just get super mad at everything. So I deliberately just antagonize them on Facebook. Hey guys, I know you love the last Pokemon video. Here's a new one for all you big fans out there, and shit like that. It's fun for me, just to upset people. So, but it's amazing how many people say, "I'm not watching this."
Oh, good.
It's okay.
Don't fucking watch it.
Cool, man. It's all right, I know you don't watch everything, and that's fine. Thank you for your support, but also shut up. You don't have to tell me that you're not going to watch this. I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a content maker, you probably get this a lot, where people feel this sense of ownership over you, over the content that you make, and it's, if you don't do exactly what they want, you're the worst fucking person in the world.
Yeah, I used to get the whole, and everyone who's in the content making game will get the, "You used to be funny, you've changed." Yeah. Man, I got that in my first year.
Yeah.
People would say that to me. And someone said it to me the other day. They messed with you. "You used to be funny. Now you're just a fucking yada, yada, yada." And I was like, mate, okay, whatever. It's all good. Go away. But this is the thing. When you're exposed to so many people, you're going to have so many different reactions.
Yeah.
Some people are going to be happy. Some people are going to be mad. It is what it is. And you just can't read the comments. And that's something that I actually fell into a bit of a hole doing that recently, reading comments. And you had to pull yourself out and go, no, no, no.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You're just going to do your head in. Because if you've got 100, let's say you got 100,000 views on a video and you've got 3,000 comments, of those 100,000 people, a lot of the people who comment on that are going to be nutbags.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
Like, if you got 100,000 people watch a video, probably 10% are crazy, right? Yeah. So there's 10,000 people. Of those 10,000 people that are crazy, how many people do you think wrote in the comment section? Probably most of them. Yeah. So, it's just that type of people. And usually the people who comment on videos either, I don't think I've ever commented on a video. Maybe once or twice.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm the same. I might actually jump on it for the other podcast I do, the Believe podcast, which you've been on. Go check that out for people who haven't seen that yet. I might comment on there, especially when you're doing, say, one of your documentaries about the weird, the unusual, paranormal, UFOs, stuff like that. Always jump on there and go, yeah, good stuff, because personally I like that type of shit. But yeah, I totally understand the whole craziness, because when it comes to the other podcasts that I do, mate, the amount of messages that I get of people saying, Fuck, mate. The amount of messages I get from people saying that I am abusing the paranormal because I'm doing a podcast that runs ads and I'm profiting off people's terrible situations or profiting off ghosts and shit like that. It's unbelievable.
You know Anne and Renata, who I do those ghost documentaries with?
Yeah, they're fantastic.
They're lovely, lovely people.
Yeah.
And they've been getting hammered recently because they promoted themselves for some awards night. They said, hey, vote for us on their Facebook page. People are like, this isn't what this community's about. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Oh, mate, fuck mate. Those people. Like, just fuck them.
And they are slowly becoming, like, leaders in that community as far as, you know, ghost hunts and their niche and their two ladies older than me. That's all I'll say, older than me. And, you know, that's great. It's wonderful. And they're very good people, very nice people, and they're good at what they do. And make people hammer in the comments. And I just sort of had to coach them in a way and just say, let people say whatever they want.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have rumors about you. You're going to have people talking shit about you. You're going to have death threats. It's insane, the world of the internet.
It's fucked.
It's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
Because people, when they have this ability to cloak themselves behind either behind a computer screen or with a false identity or without an identity, they will say whatever they want, things they'd never say to you or I in person, and they will say it till the cows come home. So you just have to sort of deal with that. But, man, we're doing a lot of those docos at the moment, and we just did one on the Central Coast that will come out in about a month's time. And I've just been really enjoying doing those. We actually had one plan with a guy who just got arrested too, so we won't be doing that one.
Oh, shit.
So I'll probably talk about that at some point, but not right now. But I'm busy writing shows, doing shows, making docos, opening Pokemon cards. It's all happening.
No, that's fantastic stuff, mate. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come on the show. Mate, it is an absolute pleasure always talking to you. And we'll have to get you on the Believe podcast again, mate, to talk about some of those docos that you've done, because it looks like some of those ghost hunts have been pretty bloody scary.
Yeah, some of them have. we've seen some crazy shit. And where are you based?
I'm up in Cairns, so far north Queensland.
Well, we're coming up to Cairns later in the year, so I'll come into the studio through the day if I get there with enough time, and we'll do it.
Mate, that sounds great.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.